Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 today. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Verse 14, "And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my Father, on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Our Father in heaven, again we praise you for your precious word. I pray that you'll take that word and apply it to our lives and to our hearts, that we may be made more valuable, useful servants in your kingdom. May we never as a church find ourselves lukewarm, but that we always find ourselves on fire for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, the church at Laodicea. We begin today with the witness. The one, the section opened, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness." We all know what a witness is, right? That's someone who testifies to what he has seen or experienced firsthand. Now the key is firsthand, okay? If I want to know what's going on somewhere, I don't want someone that's heard from a friend of a friend of a friend who heard from a friend. I want someone who has been there, who's seen the real story, that can share it with me. And that's what a witness is. And this witness that we see in verse 14, we know is who? Pop quiz. Who's the witness? You failed Jesus. Got to be fast. I'll be fast, okay? Jesus, absolutely, the witness. He says, "I know your works." You see, at the beginning of this study, we saw Jesus as he moved among the seven churches, okay? Moved around among these seven churches, watching, seeing their condition. And now Jesus has saw this church at Laodicea firsthand, and he's going to share what he's observed. The things that we need to know about this witness is he's called the Amen. Once again, you know what Amen means, right? That's not used in the Baptist ranks anymore. Right? When you hear a preacher say something really good that you know is the truth, what do you say? Okay. It's kind of weak. Amen. It means it's certainly true, or indeed it's true. It's a fact. And he opens with, "Thus says the Amen," to get this idea across to the church at Laodicea. The things that I'm about to tell you, I've seen firsthand, and it is a fact. I'm not partial. I'm not prejudiced. I'm just going to share with you the way that things are in Laodicea. See, the reason they need to know these are the facts coming from Jesus himself is because they don't really see anything wrong. Matter of fact, they think they're fine. Verse 17, you say, "I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing." In their eyes, they're doing good. Aren't we all that way? You know, we don't want to admit those areas where we probably need to do better. I guess maybe the problem was that all their physical needs were met, even surpassed, and spiritually they just didn't see much need for the spiritual things. I'm sure this church was aggressive in their business practice and aggressive in making money, but spiritually they just had no drive and no desire. Listen, as a church, you never get to where you're going. Just think about that. The only time we'll get to where we're going is when Jesus calls us home and we're gathered with Him. Okay? We can never afford to come to that point where we sit down and say, okay, we've arrived. We'll never get there. We'll never, as a matter of fact, if we do ever get there, we better examine ourselves really, really closely. Because we'll lose that drive. We'll lose that desire. He's the Amen. What He says is going to be true. He's the faithful witness, trustworthy, dependable. They can take it to the bank that what Jesus is going to share is absolutely the truth and that He's going to provide them a way to do better. How many of you can accept being told you're wrong? Would you raise your hands? Ooh, this is going to be a tough bunch this morning. Sure. I hope you can accept being instructed and be willing and open enough to say, hey, as God reveals to you those things that well, you're not doing right. That you're ready to accept and say, yes, God, I know You're faithful and You're giving me this because You're helping. He's the faithful witness. He's the true witness, meaning genuine. Do you know why he's telling this church? He's telling this church they're lukewarm because He loves them. He actually cares. Okay? Many people have God in a vision up in the sky. They envision Him as being this big God up in the sky waiting for you to mess up so He can slap you in the back of the head. That's not true. Okay? He cares. He loves you. He wants you to have all that you can possibly have in His personal relationship with you. And when you don't, when you're not enjoying the fullness of that relationship, His desire is to bring you to that point. And that's the desire of Him being this witness of the church at Laodicea, the lukewarm church, it says. He says, this is not the way it should be. You're not enjoying the full fellowship. You're not enjoying the zeal, the excitement, the fervor of what the kingdom of God should be. And so He begins as the faithful witness. And He says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. Now, you know what cold means, right? And we're not talking about weather. We're talking about a metaphor, right? The metaphor that cold means without enthusiasm, indifferent, heartless. The good news is the church at Laodicea is not cold. I guess that's good news. But it says they're not hot. You know what hot means? Fervent, enthusiastic. We'd say on fire. But they were not hot. Meaning they weren't on fire. So it raises the question, what are they? What are they if they're not cold and they're not hot? What are they? Jesus says you're lukewarm. A temperature between cold and hot. We'd say half-hearted. And you know what Jesus said about that? He said, that just makes me sick. He literally says, that just makes me sick. I will vomit you out of my mouth. See, there's nothing lukewarm about Jesus. Okay? And He begins to explain what lukewarm is. Okay? He goes on. He said, I know your works that you're neither hot nor cold. So then, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich. I have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched. Here's the lukewarmness. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, Jesus saw them as they truly were. And these are the signs of their lukewarmness. Wretched, distressed, pathetic, tormented inside and out. Yeah? There was a serious lack of joy in the church. There was a lack of satisfaction. They were doing all the right things. I have no doubt they were going to church on Sunday. They were reading their Bibles and they were going through the motions and doing all the things that they were supposed to do. But something was missing and it was tormenting them on the inside. Have you ever been there where you go to church and something's wrong? And you think, but Lord, I went to church. Where am I missing the boat? There's an emptiness. And I tell you, when you get there, that will torment you. That will bug you to no end because you know there's supposed to be more than that. And you can't put your finger on it. But it just eats away at you and grinds at you. And often we blame the church. Well, it's just that church. Well, you know who the church is made of, right? Church members. Usually it's not the church. It usually starts with the individual. Jesus said, you're wretched. You're miserable. Pitiful. Someone that you'd feel sorry for. Poor, which means worthless. Oh yeah, this church had money. I have no doubt they were the rich church, you know. But Jesus said, you're worthless the way you are. Blind, which means without sight. They couldn't see the way they really were. You know, I find it sad that churches today are just satisfied. Have you ever noticed that it's real easy to be satisfied? I think that we could put a recliner in most churches with a little lift up your feet and lean back and we'd all be just as happy as pigs in a pen, you know? We like comfortable. But see, that's the problem. Is God didn't call us to comfort. He didn't make us lazy boys and lazy girls, you know? He called us to service. He called us to be on fire for the kingdom of God. He called us to spread the gospel. He called us to support missionaries. He called us to have the boldness to take a stand on occasion. Not be comfortable. That's what all this... And that's what was missing. You see, Christians today, we want to be comfortable. Yes, why don't we witness? Because, Brother Doug, I'm just not comfortable with that. Yay! That's usually a good sign when you're not comfortable. That means, you know, you're ready to serve the Lord. Well, Brother Doug, I just can't. Yay! You're not supposed to. You're supposed to allow God to do it through you. You know? Best thing a church can do is get out of its comfort zone. It is. See, and look what he says here. All these wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, all signs are characteristic of lukewarmness. But look at the next thing he says. I counsel, verse 18, I counsel you. To buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. And white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness be not revealed. Buy of me gold refined in the fire. See, they were very familiar with the term buy because they had money. That was their reputation. They were rich, you know. I mean, they had it. How many of you are familiar with the term buy? Okay, no honesty in this congregation this morning whatsoever. We know what it means to buy, don't we? We go get what we want when we want it. You know, I just don't enjoy shopping. But I tell you what I do enjoy. I enjoy when I need something, going to the store, getting what I need and getting out. right? Okay? That's what I do. That's my shopping, right? And I'm the kind that if I need something, I'll usually go to the store and get it and buy it. And then when it comes Christmas time or something, my kids say, "What do you want for Christmas?" I think, "Yeah, I don't know. I don't want anything. I go get, if I need something, I go get it." And, you know, but I want you to think about what Jesus just told this church at Laodicea. He said, "Buy of me." You know, it's easy to go to Walmart and buy. It's not so easy to put away your checkbook and buy. Okay? "Buy of me," he said, "gold tried by fire." 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." You see, here's the problem. And here is the defining characteristic of lukewarmness. This church at Laodicea were not willing to go through the fire on behalf of their faith. They wanted to be comfortable. As I said before, I'm sure this church at Laodicea was the big church. They were the rich church. They probably had a great budget, everything they wanted. But I'm also convinced that they were not willing to go out there where it was not comfortable and let their faith be tried by fire. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness, and get this, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Do you realize that as we take our faith through the fire, it tests and tries and proves the genuineness of our faith? Why are there so many Christians today who are attending church on Sunday and attending the parties Monday through Saturday? Why are there so many Christians who are attending church on Sunday and attending the drug parties every other day of the week? Why is it that there are so many Christians who just absolutely refuse to take a stand? But it's because we have the mentality that all there is to religion is just go to church a couple times a week. My friend, if that is your definition of religion, you are as lukewarm as you can be. What faith is willing to go through the firefight, willing to have your faith laid out on the line, willing to crawl out there on a limb, even if you're the only one that takes a stand for the honor and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. A church on fire is a church willing to get out there and get in the battle, willing to do things that other churches just aren't comfortable in doing. It's okay to be comfortable. See, I've heard so much, and when people would experience difficulty, they'd say, "Well, I just don't think God expects me to." Why would you think that? Why would you think that God expects everything just to fall into place, be smooth, and never get your feathers ruffled? It doesn't work that way. You see, the genuineness of your faith is tried through the fire. And when you go through the fire and you keep your stand, you make your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, as you go through that fire, when you come out the other side, it's to His honor and to His glory. You look back and you think, "Boy, I don't know how I got through that, but I know that God got me through that," you know? when you witness, when you step out there and actually tell someone that they need Jesus Christ in your life, you know, that you've been putting off and knowing that you should, but you just hadn't went there because you hadn't been comfortable. Well, that day when you decide, I'm not going to be lukewarm anymore, I'm going to share Jesus, and you share with that person, and they come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you think to yourself, I don't know how they were saved because I made a mess of it. And then it dawns on you, Jesus did it. He did it through me. You see, the greatest need in our country is for we as children of God to get out of our comfortable recliners and go out on a limb for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our work, the kingdom, is characterized by people who've went out on a limb. You take the Apostle Paul, I mean, he had it all. He had it all. He was the religious guru of his time. And the Lord brought him to salvation, and he gave it all up. And he endured beatings and persecutions and sufferings and imprisonment, all for the glory of God. You know, you say, well, but that was in Bible times, Brother Doug. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say there are still people willing to go out on limbs today. Your former pastor was one of them. Okay? Brother Danny today's in Omaha, Nebraska, because he's willing to go out on a limb and answer God's call. That's the definition. That's the characteristic of being on fire for the Lord. Jesus said, buy of me gold tried in the fire. Be willing to go out on that limb. Buy of me white garments. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 8. Says, and I heard as it were a voice of great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of a mighty thundering, say, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. And then the end of it says, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Wow. I want to ask you a question. Will you have anything to wear when you get to heaven? What have you done with your life so that the kingdom of God has prospered? Where have you taken a chance, gone out on that limb, got out of your comfort zone for the honor and for the glory of God? Do you know it's those righteous acts of the saints that the bride of Christ adorns herself with at the end of the age? Will you have anything to wear? In closing, the choice that we've got to make. He said in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Again, I remind you, God's not telling this to them because He needs them, or He's telling this to them because He cares. They were satisfied with the way things were, and God wanted it to be all that it could be in their relationship and in their church. In verse 19, Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke See, that word rebuke means to expose, and it carries with the idea of revealing where you've went astray. Listen, when I started, I asked, how many of us can stand the idea that we just might be wrong? See, here's the point of the service, the message that that Jesus gives, where you've got to ask the question, where have I not? Where have I been telling Jesus no? Where have I not been willing to take my stand? Where have I not been willing to go out on that limb that Jesus is calling me? And right now, you're feeling that rebuke, that exposure. God working in that heart. He's saying, I want you. I want it to be all it can be. I want us as a church to be all we can be. But you're going to have to see where you are. And you're going to have to accept that you as an individual need to change. That's what repentance is. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. That word chasten, you know what it means? It means discipline. Again, we have the idea of a mom and of a daddy with his child just beating him to death. That's not what it carries. It's the idea of loving correction. Listen. It takes love to correct someone. Do you know that? You realize that? Way easier. If you want a parent, if you want to know a parent that loves their children, they're a parent that are willing to correct them. You know? I've often heard parents say, oh, it just hurts too much to spank my child. Well, you sissy. Yes, it hurts. But do you care enough to correct that baby? Okay? And see, that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, as many as I love, I expose their wrong. And not only do I expose, but I chasten or I correct them. I discipline, I turn them back in the right way. It's not a big... As you deal with the Lord today, I want you to understand this. It's not a problem that you've been wrong or that you've done wrong. That's not where the shame is. The shame is when you choose to keep doing wrong by not listening to that loving Heavenly Father. That's where the tragedy is. Where are you today? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know? You know what he started? We often hear this as individuals, and it does apply. He does stand at our heart's door and he knocks and let me in. But you know what? This is written to a church. A church that Jesus had apparently been shut out. Today, we as a church, you as an individual, have got to make a choice. It's decision time. Are we ready to be put in the position of going through the fiery trials? You know, we've got it easy right now as a nation, but I fear where we're going. Because it's coming to the point quickly where the general population does want to just completely push Christianity out of the picture. And when you take a Christian stand, it's going to ultimately wind up being a crime. You know? Are you willing to go through the fire? Are you willing today to go through the fire just based on where you are right now? Are you ready to clothe yourself in the righteous deeds that honor our God? Jesus knocks. What will you do? Open the door. Open the door. Let's be a church ready to do things that other churches just aren't comfortable doing. Let's be a church willing to go to the other side of the world with our mission ministry. Let's be a church that are willing to share with the people whom we work with and go to school with who our Savior Jesus Christ is. Let's be a church, you know, glad for the world to look at us and know that we're Christians. And when it comes that time, may we be a church willing to go through the fire for the honor and the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be here today. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to offer you this. Jesus loves you. Okay? He loves you so that He gave His life on Calvary for your sins. We're all sinners. And we've all come short of the glory of a perfect and awesome God. But Jesus came to this earth to live a perfect and sinless life and then take your sin to the cross of Calvary and take your punishment and die. And He did. And He did. All because He loved you. And now today, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You realize you can be saved today. You're a prayer away from salvation. One thing I do know. I do know that I rejoice in the fact of that if I leave this life today, I enter eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. Do you have that assurance? If not, this invitation is for you. Maybe there's another commitment you need to make. Maybe you're going through a fire or you've just not been willing to put yourself out there. Today's a day of commitment. Will you listen to Jesus as He knocks? And will you say, "Yes, Lord"? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for the opportunity to look into Your Word and to learn of You and to know of You. I pray that now as we go into this invitation, we will be a church willing to go through the trials of fire in our faith. That, Lord, we will be a church willing to be inconvenienced and uncomfortable for Your honor and for Your glory. That, Lord, we as Your individual children will be willing to take our stand for You. I pray that in this invitation, those who are lost will be saved. I pray that Your will be done. In Jesus' name.